In 1931, a superhero type detective was created by magazine publishers Street and Smith, writer Walter B. Gibson, called The Shadow. Not only was it a comic strip, but it was also a radio program narrated by Orson Welles. The Shadow had superpowers of strength, mind-reading capabilities. He could even move objects by way of telekinesis to solve and fight crime. Each episode of the radio program ended with the words, "As you sow evil, so shall you reap evil. Crime does not pay, the Shadow knows." There's something about shadows that exert influence for good and for bad. When I was a young child, in our bedroom, it was like watching a horror picture show. The Shadow Effect on 345 Wayne Street was pretty hard to deal with at times. See, we had these paper-thin pull-down curtains. They functioned as a toy for us kids during the day. We loved to pull them down and watch them snap back up in no time flat. You know what I'm talking about? We would always take a piece of thread and a little bit of tape and then attach our little green army men to them. And then that was our catapult to get them behind enemy lines. Because they'd always give way. And Mom did not like that. She always said, "Quit playing with my curtains." Because they ripped quite easily. But at night, when she pulled them down as we went to bed, those curtains became the backdrop for terrifying images in our room. It's like watching a horror picture show. The Shadow Effect was brought about by the streetlight and the shadow of tree branches being projected onto those paper-thin curtains. When the wind blew and those bony branches moved back and forth, you know, it was always in the fall and the winter months after all the leaves had fallen. I mean, right around Halloween time, it was easy as a little kid to imagine monsters out there coming for you. One night, our strictly outdoor cat, an expert hunter we named Calico, who was king of the jungle on our block, jumped up on the windowsill with one of her many trophies she always brought home to show us how good of a hunter she was. It was a squealing rabbit in his jaws, the light projecting upon the blinds. My brothers and I were just paralyzed with fear. Mom, Dad. But that's the power of shadows to move us. If there's a shadow, there must be something very real behind that shadow, which creates it. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," the 23rd Psalm says. Some shadows are scarier than others. But shadows can also work for good as well. This morning, as we continue looking at the early church and the book of Acts, we will be considering the power of a shadow. In this case, Peter's shadow. From Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, we read, "Now many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats in order that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he came by. A great number of people would also gather from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all cured." Commentator William Barclay says that here we have a cameo-like picture of what went on in the early church. It tells us where the church met. Their meeting place was Solomon's colonnade, one of the two great colonnades which surrounded the temple. The early Christians were constant in their attendance at the house of God, desiring to ever know God better and to draw upon His strength for life and living. It tells us how the church met. The early Christians assembled where everyone could see them. They were bold. They knew what had happened to the apostles and what might well happen to them, but they were determined to show everyone whose they were and where they stood. It tells us that the early church was an extremely effective church. Things happened. The healing ministry of the church was in the forefront of its work, and people will always throng to a church where lives are being changed. It says people from all around the other towns surrounding Jerusalem began coming to church. It was an open-air church. They did not have a building. They met in the streets, as the text says. People lined the streets as Peter walked by so that at least his shadow might fall on them. At least his shadow might fall on them. People were being added so fast to the church at that time that it was impossible for Peter and the other apostles to deal individually with every new member. There were thousands. Deacons are just around the corner in the book of Acts in chapter 6 to help lighten the workload for the apostles. But for now, just getting Peter's shadow to touch them would suffice. Do you remember the lady with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, verses 24 to 34, where it says, "And a large crowd followed Jesus and pressed in on him." Now, there was a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. And she'd heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I can but touch his cloak, I'll be made well." And that did it for her. Immediately, her flow of blood stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And although he did stop, the woman didn't need Jesus to stop and make a big show of her situation. She just knew that if she could touch the hem of his garment, in her mind, in her heart of faith, she only needed to press in through the crowd and just get a little touch, and she would be healed. Jesus loves that kind of faith. A determined faith that's willing to press on and to press through. And that's what's going on here in this fifth chapter of Acts. I don't need you to stop by my house and have dinner, Peter, and to say an extravagant prayer over me and to make a show of me. But if I can just get close enough to his shadow, to the man whom God is working great things through, then my faith in God will take care of the rest. Just a shadow of influence. So let's talk about shadows this morning. The nature of them. What's behind them. The influence of them. There are different types of shadows that exist in our world. Spiritual as well as physical. And God is the author of them all. To begin with, shadows are part of the physics of this world. You cannot have a shadow unless you first have light. Not only do you need light, but you need an object for that light to fall upon in order to cast a shadow. In the case of Peter, we have two kinds of shadows being cast. We have a physical shadow and a spiritual shadow of influence as well. In the case of the physical shadow, we obviously have the sun hitting Peter. And the physical shadow indicates proximity. To be within the distance of one's shadow means that you must draw close to that person. And that person must draw close to you. Now, everyone knew it wasn't Peter's shadow that was mystically healing people. Everyone knew it was the power of God who was working through Peter. So when the people drew close enough to Peter so that his shadow might fall upon them, what they were really striving to do is to get closer to God. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you." Like the woman with the issue of blood, sometimes we must make a dedicated and sincere effort to get close to God. Sometimes it's a fight and a struggle with other people or other things getting in the way, and we must battle through them. How bad do you want it? How desperate are you for the touch of God upon your life? Are you willing to struggle for it? The people joining the early church wanted God to take center stage in their life. Not just be a small part of their life, but center stage. They were willing to make the effort to draw nigh unto God so that he could draw nigh unto them. And as a church, we also need to remember that, like Peter, it's important for us to get close to those who are in need. Close enough to be at least a shadow's distance away from them. They need to feel our physical presence with them, to hear our voice, to feel our love and comfort, and hear our prayers. Church work is not done from a distance. It's up close and personal. So much of our living in this world today is done from a distance. People work from home. My brother has a job. He lives in Ohio, and his job is in Massachusetts. I still don't know how that works, but apparently it does. Students do their classes online. Business is done over the internet. No one looks anyone in the eye with a handshake anymore. We text and email and have electronic signatures to close deals. But the church in her work must never forget to draw close to people in need, close enough for our shadow of influence to touch them, close enough for a hug to take place. The story says the people got close enough. Peter got close enough so that at least his shadow may fall on them. At least refers to the minimum proximity. Now, what's even better than a shadow is a touch. Let us not be content with a shadow's distance. Let us move beyond the shadow to a touch. We're hardwired by God to respond to touch. From the very beginning of life, human beings need to be touched. It's essential for human survival. Babies who are deprived of touch can fail to thrive, lose weight, even die. There are orphanages in parts of the world where babies are just placed there and no one touches them, and it's a tragedy. There's healing and life in the power of not only a shadow, but especially a touch. Luke 6:17-19 says this about our Lord. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples. And a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. When Jesus touched others, they were healed. Matthew 9:18, Mark 5:23, Mark 6:5, Mark 7:32, Mark 8:22-25, Luke 13:13, all refer to Jesus laying his hands on others so that they might be healed. James 5 says, "Are there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's touching. That's a healing touch. Mark 16:17 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. The work of the church is an up-close ministry. But let's get back to Peter's shadow. I want to talk about one other kind of shadow at work that day, the shadow of influence. You know, we all cast shadows of influence upon those around us, and we are affected by other people's shadows. Parents especially cast shadows of influence upon their children, sometimes for good and sometimes for ill. You know, Dr. Rick in the Progressive Insurance commercials is always coaching people to not become like their parents. Get out from underneath the shadow of your parents. They have a support group, How Not to Be Your Parent. It's a funny commercial because we know it's true. We influence others with our shadow, and others influence us with theirs. Peter must have had the sun shining upon him that day, otherwise he could not have cast a physical shadow. But did that mean that if it was a cloudy day, no one could get healed? Absolutely not. How silly would that be? More importantly was the fact that Peter was walking in the light of the S-O-N. That's the light that was really hitting him. The power of Jesus. The light and power that was flowing through him came from Jesus, the light of the world. You cannot cast a shadow physically or spiritually if you do not have some kind of light hitting your body. Today, the church should have a shadow of influence upon the culture and the world, not vice versa. Peter and the early church were so laser focused upon their mission in the world that God's power and light was manifested in their lives in a powerful way. And the world was turned upside down, not vice versa. A laser is a powerful light. Do you know that the word laser stands for light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation? I don't want to get too cerebral with you this morning, but a laser is nothing more than amplified light. Light that is so tightly focused, it becomes very powerful. Lasers are used in powerful ways in our world to cut metal and glass, to weld things together, scan barcodes, to use as optical tweezers, laser scalpels, fiber optics, 3D scanners, and the list goes on. When light is amplified, it becomes powerful. And that's what was going on in the early church. That's what was going on in the life of Peter and the apostles. They were laser focused upon their mission and upon their call. There was so much light hitting them from heaven that nothing mattered more to them than spreading and sharing the life-giving resurrection power of Jesus Christ. They didn't care if they would be locked in prison or crucified or have any other bad thing happen to them. They were so locked in on their mission. When the church becomes laser-focused, God's light will be amplified through us in such a way that wonderful and powerful things can happen in the lives of others. Our shadow of influence from this light will draw others to the Lord. The laser acrostic of the church is light amplification by stimulated energy from the resurrection. Or in other words, the same power, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Now, many theologians believe today that the church is done with the healing events that took place in the days of Peter and Paul. The age of signs and wonders is over, they say. The power is no longer happening in the church today. But I disagree. And the reason I disagree is because I can say as a fact that the church is no longer laser focused upon its mission as the early church was. The church has become an institution where our focus has become so spread out to so many other things required to keep an institution going that we have lost that laser focus upon the mission of sharing Jesus with the rest of the world. We have become obsessed with denominational correctness, budgets, membership, buildings, political agendas, social statements, bingo and potlucks. Not our potluck next week, that'll be good. And we're a very materialistic society. The power of God has been diminished in the church, not because of God turning the power off. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But because of the fact that we have lost our laser focus upon our true mission, things have become a bit blurry. We have a calling that bids us to pick up our cross and even be willing to die for the sake of the gospel, if need be. Do not tell me that the church has that same passion and commitment today for the gospel, because she doesn't. You know it and I know it. It's just a sad, cold, hard fact. As a little kid, did you ever take a magnifying glass and try to start a fire? Anybody? Oh, yeah, good. Wasn't the only one, huh? I was a pro at it. I was getting borderline arsonist. The key is to get the light from heaven, that light from above, from the sun, to become laser focused upon the object you're trying to set ablaze. Now, you can move that magnifying glass, and it can become so dispersed that it lacks the power to bring about the required change for fire. Or you can focus that light in such a way that it becomes a tight beam of light focused upon one thing, a tight beam of power which amplifies the light and the heat of the sun. It's no different for the church. When we tighten our focus with our light from the SON, today, upon the simple message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When we focus on that message, that light is focused and amplified and magnified in our lives, we will cast the shadow of influence in such a way that fires of faith will break out. It's what I always loved about the ministry of Billy Graham. His message was simple. It was about that. He kept Jesus as the main focus. And look at the results. When we do that, lives will be healed. Rejoicing will break out in heaven among the angels because others are coming to a life-saving relationship with the resurrected Christ. You are a shadow of influence today. Whether you want to be or not, you cast a shadow in this world. Let the light of the world, Jesus Christ, shine on you in such a way that it is amplified and magnified through you, so that others will be blessed. Amen.